thought this was real, not a video projection. Indra looked back at him with a quizzical smile. Think again, Frank. We started to move about 10 minutes ago. By now, we must be climbing at, at least 1,000 kilometers an hour. Though I'm told these elevators can reach 100G at maximum acceleration, we won't touch more than 10 on this short run. That's impossible. 6 is the maximum they ever gave me in the centrifuge, and I didn't enjoy weighing half a ton. I know we haven't moved since we stepped inside. Poole had raised his voice slightly and suddenly became aware that the other passengers were pretending not to notice. I don't understand how it's done, Frank, but it's called an inertial field, or sometimes a sharp one. The S stands for a famous Russian scientist, Sakharov. I don't know who the others were. Slowly understanding dawned in Poole's mind, and also a sense of awestruck wonder. Here indeed was a technology indistinguishable from magic. Some of my friends used to dream of space drives, energy fields that could replace rockets and allow movement without any feeling of acceleration. Most of us thought they were crazy, but it seems they were right. I can still hardly believe it. And unless I'm mistaken, we're starting to lose weight. Yes, it's adjusting to the lunar value. When we step out, you'll feel we're on the moon. But for goodness sake, Frank, forget you're an engineer and simply enjoy the view. It was good advice. But even as he watched the whole of Africa, Europe, and much of Asia flow into his field of vision, Poole could not tear his mind away from this astonishing revelation. Yet he should not have been wholly surprised. He knew that there had been major breakthroughs in space propulsion systems since his time, but had not realized that they would have such dramatic applications to everyday life. If that term could be applied to existence in a 36,000-kilometer-high skyscraper... And the age of the rocket must have been over, centuries ago. All his knowledge of propellant systems and combustion chambers, ion thrusters, and fusion reactors was totally obsolete. Of course, that no longer mattered, but he understood the sadness that the skipper of the Windjammer must have felt when sail gave way to steam. His mood changed abruptly, and he could not help smiling when the robo-voice announced, "Arriving in 2 minutes. Please make sure that you do not leave any of your personal belongings behind." How often he had heard that announcement on some commercial flight. He looked at his watch and was surprised to see that they had been ascending for less than half an hour, so that meant an average speed of at least 20,000 kilometers an hour, yet they might never have moved. What was even stranger, for the last 10 minutes or more, they must actually have been decelerating so rapidly that by rights they should all have been standing on the roof, heads pointing towards Earth. The doors opened silently, and as Poole stepped out, he again felt the slight disorientation he had noticed on entering the elevator lounge. This time, however, he knew what it meant. He was moving through the transition zone where the inertial field overlapped with gravity. At this level, equal to the moon's. Indra and Danil followed him, walking carefully now at a third of their customary weight, as they went forward to meet the next of the day's wonders. Though the view of the receding Earth had been awesome, even for an astronaut, there was nothing unexpected or surprising about it. But who would have imagined a gigantic chamber, apparently occupying the entire width of the tower, so that the far wall was more than 5 kilometers away? Perhaps by this time there were larger enclosed volumes on the moon and Mars, but this must surely be one of the largest in space itself. They were standing on a viewing platform, 50 meters up on the outer wall, looking across an astonishingly varied panorama. Obviously, an attempt had been made to reproduce a whole range of terrestrial biomes. Immediately beneath them was a group of slender trees, which Poole could not at first identify. Then he realized that they were oaks, adapted to 1/6 of their normal gravity. what he